Well, let me encourage you to turn in your Bible to the passage that we read. Last week, we looked at chapter 20 of Joshua, which is about the cities of refuge, and I believe there's a word from the Lord every week, and there certainly was a word from the Lord last week. For those of you who missed that, we have put that into the bulletin at the back this week. But please don't go looking and reading at that now, because I believe that there is a word from the Lord for us all this morning from this 21st chapter of Joshua, which is all about the Levites and how it came about that 48 of the cities, towns were, as it were, given to them for them to live in. I don't know what you think about the Levites, if you think anything about them. Just a couple of things here. We've looked at that before. It's a picture of the allocation of the tribes that we've been studying about in Joshua. And if you were to look at that very carefully, you wouldn't see any mention of the tribe of Levi. And that is because they were not given any land as such in the same way that the other tribes were given. And so what we're going to do this morning is, and again, you could look at that for long enough, the cities for the Levites. And yes, I have counted the little red dots. I think there's 48 of them. And that's where these people were called to go and to live. This morning, the Levites. Who were the Levites? Well, I've already said to the children, you go back to Genesis 29 and you'll discover that Levi was the third son of Jacob and Leah, the third son. And there's just another wee thing I want to show you here, because you need to understand this in order to see where this is going. And I believe it's going to a very good place. It's going to a gospel place, as all of Scripture does. Now, I know you'll not be able to look at that in any detail, but Levi, the son of Jacob, Levi had three sons, Gershon and Gohath and Merari, and one of those sons gave birth to a man called Amram. You know who Amram was? Amram was the father of Moses. And he was the father of Aaron, his brother. And it was from that line that there were certain people appointed to be the Levitical priests in the Old Testament, because they all came from Levi. And there's a whole interesting study there, and if you're interested, you can. The text is there, Exodus chapter 6, and you can get some of those details. But what can we say this morning about the Levites? And how can we look at this in a way that is going to take us to Jesus? Because that's ultimately what it's all about. You're not here this morning primarily to have a history, albeit Bible history lesson about the Levites. That would be interesting, but it's not maybe going to touch your heart and your soul. It must always be done in a gospel way and in a way that brings us to Jesus. So what I want to do just for a short time is just to give you a wee picture of what happened with the Levites. And then, even as I do that, I suspect you will begin to see where we're going with this. First of all, the Levites were restored and set apart. If you were to go back into Genesis and Genesis 49, you have an account there of Jacob blessing his sons. And there were two sons that he did not bless, Levi and his brother Simeon. And why did he not bless them? He did not bless them because of what they had done. Yes, their sister Dinah had been sexually violated in a terrible way, Genesis 32. But the two boys had also done dreadful things. I'll not go into the details now. And so instead of Jacob blessing these boys, he certainly does not bless them. And you could go as far as to say that he almost curses them. So they were in a bad place, like all of us. They were not blessed. They had fallen into sin very badly. Wind the clock forward to the time of Moses. And Moses goes up the mountain and receives the Ten Commandments. He comes down the mountain, and lo and behold, what is happening? The people have built a golden calf, and they have gone after other gods. And it's a remarkable story. I'm not going to take time this morning to go into it. But in Exodus 32 and verse 26, when Moses comes down the mountain, he says to the people, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And the text tells us that the sons of Levi gathered unto him. And it is a really a lovely, lovely story in the midst of stuff that's not very lovely. Of, if you like, people who once were cursed and not blessed and in a bad place, that they hear the call, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And they stand up and say, "We are on the Lord's side." And we are told in Exodus 32 that it says that they were restored and set apart. If you want the text, it's Exodus 32, 29. Go and study it later on. And we are told then in the beginning of the book of Numbers that they are called and appointed to be caretakers of the tabernacle and helpers to the priests who were serving there. So they were restored and they were set apart. Here's something else. They were called to serve. If you have your Bible, just maybe glance back to Numbers. Go back to the book of Numbers. We're told this in Numbers chapter 1 and verse 50. It says, "Appoint the Levites to be in charge of the tabernacle." And in Numbers chapter 4, and if you have your Bible open, look at this. Numbers chapter 4 and verse 47. It says, "Moses and Aaron and the leaders of Israel counted all the Levites by their clans and families, and all the men from 30 to 50 years of age who came to do the work of serving and carrying the tent of meeting numbered 8,580. And at the Lord's command through Moses, each was assigned his work and told what to carry." What's my point? My point is very simple, that we are taught in Numbers that these Levites, having been restored to the Lord, having been set apart to the Lord, that they were called to serve the Lord. They were called to serve him. We're continuing to build this picture. The Levites were also called as guardians and stewards. If you've got, those of you who have turned to Numbers, turn to Numbers chapter 3 and verse 8. "Bring the tribe of Levi and present them." And verse 8 says, "They are to take care of all the furnishings of the tent of meeting, fulfilling the obligations of the Israelites by doing the work of the tabernacle. If you're reading an ESV, it translates that, I think, helpfully. They are to guard the furnishings. They are to guard the things of God. They were literally called as guardians of the things of God, as stewards of the things of God. Indeed, in Deuteronomy 33, verse 10, we're told that these Levites had a role in instructing the people in the ways of the Lord. So we're beginning to build a picture of who these people were and what they were doing. So we have a picture here of the Levites as spiritual guardians and stewards of the things of God. Indeed, John Calvin says this. He talks of these Levitical cities in Joshua as guardians, if you like, in every district. Think about that. To retain the people in the pure worship of God. They were guardians and stewards of the things of God. And here's the fourth and final thing just in this little picture. They were called to be pilgrims. They were called to sacrifice as pilgrims. Just go back now to Joshua chapter 21. Remember what I've said? Through this book of Joshua, and you can read about it in chapter 14, verse 4, and chapter 18, verse 7, they were not going to be given land as such, but they were going to be given these cities, 48 of them, and the Levites were told, you will go to live in these cities as guardians, as stewards, as servants. Let me ask you this question. You remember a few weeks ago I said that tomorrow morning they are given out land over at Kilmore. Remember I said that? Well, it's tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Be there and you'll get some land. I can guarantee that quite a number of you will be there. By the way, this is not really happening, but just imagine it is. Now, imagine that you're there tomorrow morning and people are getting land and it's going well, and then you're part of a crowd and they say, actually, you're not going to get any land. You're going to be called to do something different. How would you feel? You would feel probably a bit disappointed. You would feel, oh dear, I would have liked a bit of land. And you see, for these Levites, there was a sacrifice there. They were not going to be getting land in the sense of the other tribes. They were called to something different. And there was a sacrifice there. They were actually called to something different. They weren't called, if you like, to put their roots down into the land. They were called to another role. They were called to be in the cities and the towns as guardians and servants of the Lord. And there was a sacrifice. Absolutely. There was a sacrifice there. They were called to be pilgrims. Indeed, I'm not going to look it up now, but in Deuteronomy 18, verse 6, the Levites are described in terms of those who, and the word that's used, sojourn. Do you know what that word means? It means to be on the move. It means not just to be stuck in the one place. It means to be traveling. It's a pilgrim word. They were sojourners. So you say to me, right, where are you going with this, Stephen? Well, let me tell you exactly where I'm going with it. The Levites were restored and set apart. The Levites were called to serve. They were called to be guardians and stewards, and they were called to be pilgrims. Some of you know exactly where I'm going with this, because this is the gospel. Let me put it this way, and it's not a way actually that either you or I normally talk about these things, but did you realize this morning that if you are a Christian, you are a spiritual Levite? That may be new language to some of you, but that's absolutely true, and it is sound biblically. Indeed, the New Testament basically says that, although it uses slightly different language. When Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. I remember reading of Spurgeon. He preached a sermon. I'm sure he preached a sermon on almost all the Bible. A great preacher, and he preached once on Isaiah 66 and verse 21. Do you know what Isaiah 66 and verse 21 says? It says this, and I will also take of them for priests and for Levites. And Spurgeon preached a great gospel message from that. And in fact, let me quote to you something that he said in that message. He said, under the gospel, God will select both of Jews and Gentiles, a chosen people who shall stand before him spiritually as the priests and Levites stood before him typically. So he says, if you're a believer, you're a priest and a Levite unto God. Christian believer this morning, you have been restored and set apart. We sometimes sing that hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Remember one of the lines, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me, his praise should sing. Brother and sister in Christ, tell me this morning, have you lost sight of something of this? There was a day when you, like Levi of old, was cursed. It's a blunt word. It's a solemn word. It's not a very nice word. But spiritually, you were not where you should have been. But you have heard the call of the Lord. Who's on the Lord's side? And by grace, you have stood up and said, yes, count me in. And you've been restored by grace through the blood of Christ. And you've been set apart. Do you know that? Do you realize that? This is the testimony of the believer. I was listening, some of the young folk may identify with this. I was listening recently to a lovely song by Jonathan and Melissa Helser, speaking of the fact that we are no longer slaves, that we are children of God. You unravel me with a melody. You know that, some of you young folk? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And if you don't know what that song's about and you want to go home and Google it on YouTube, you'll be blessed. Brother and sister, you're called by the grace of God. You're no longer a slave to fear. You are a child of God. You've been restored and you've been set apart. And here's something else. You are called to serve. You are called to serve. That's why we sang that hymn this morning. So let us learn how to serve. And in our lives, enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer. For it is Christ that we are serving. We are not saved to sit. We are saved to serve. We are called to serve. And that is why some of you get involved and you're involved in the youth organizations and in the ladies' work and in men's work or whatever it is that you're involved in. And we thank God for your service. And we call other people to be involved in serving the Lord. And maybe you're here this morning and you haven't quite got to that point yet, and yet the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart and says, you know what? You need to also be involved a little bit more than you are. Why? Because you, if you're a Christian believer, you are called to serve the Lord in and through his church. Restored and set apart. Called to serve. It's interesting, and I can't help but saying this. Remember, we read there a moment ago in Numbers 4, that all the men from 30 to 50 who came to serve the Lord, oh, that spirit was alive and well in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Alas, many pastors and ministers look around their churches and their communities, and they say, where are the men of 30 years of age and 25 years of age and 35 and 40? Where are they? Men, we need you, if I can put it that way. We need you to step up to the mark and serve the Lord. Your fathers before you, and going way back into the Bible, your fathers before you, those young men were not slow to step up to the mark and say, we will serve the Lord. Enough said. You're a guardian and a steward of the gospel through the church. And again, so much could be said about this, that if you're a Christian, and that's why I've put through the church here in brackets, because we're not calling people here to run off and do their own thing. That can so easily happen. But we're calling people to, in and through the church of Jesus Christ, to see themselves as stewards of the gospel and guardians of the gospel and servants of the gospel. So let me appeal to you again this morning, Christian, young and old, see yourself in that sense through the church. And Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, he speaks of himself and others being entrusted with the gospel. Who's the gospel entrusted to today? It's entrusted to the church of Jesus Christ and to every true regenerate Christian man and woman and young person. The gospel has been entrusted to us, and we are called as guardians and stewards of that gospel. And here's the other thing. You are called also to be a pilgrim. That's why we sing those hymns. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Or, oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. And this is something that we need to take more seriously, folks. We are actually to follow in the footsteps of those Levites who were told, and maybe it was a bit disappointing, and because maybe they had a whole lot of plans. Look, folks, you're not going to get a whole lot of land here, but you're called to something different. You're called to serve in those towns and cities as servants and guardians of what God has given to you. You're pilgrims, you're sojourners. And in this day and age, in our particular society, where there is always the danger of the church becoming nice and middle class and all of that kind of thing, this surely is a word for us that we are not to put our roots down too much in this world, that we are also always to have that sense of, look, I'm not of this world, I'm called to another world. Yes, God has put me here and I'm to serve in the same way that those Levites, yes, they were pilgrims, but they were still in those cities. And you're in a particular place, a particular town, a particular place of work, a particular family. I'm not suggesting you run off into your room and close the door and become a hermit. No, not at all. But nor am I saying that we should put our roots deep down into this world, because this world will come and go. But the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ will last forever. And what does that nurture in us, brother and sister? It nurtures a humility. It nurtures, maybe dare I say, a modest and unadorned approach to life. The principle of simplicity, much overlooked in the church today, something that we should think about. Time has gone. Where does time go on a Sunday morning? maybe you thought it went very long. Well, let me finish with this. Time may have gone. Who is on the Lord's side? Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. What a wonderful text. And I say to you this morning, in light of these Levites who stood up to the mark and said, We've messed it up in the past, but Lord, we are on your side. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and that is a word for you. Who is on the Lord's side? And you say, well, Lord, I've messed up big time, and I'm not really what other people think I am. But as of today, I want to step up to the mark, and I want to give my life to Jesus, and I want to follow Christ. Will you do that? That's why I'm here. That's what a preacher does. A preacher calls people to Jesus. So this morning, if you're not yet on the Lord's side, why not? Why not? Realize the danger that you're in if you continue on that road. But come to Jesus. Come to this wonderful, amazing person, Jesus Christ, who loved you. And died on that cross for you. And was raised again for you. And I trust is coming back for you. Who is on the Lord's side? May God grant that we all say yes. I am on the Lord's side. Let us pray. O God our Father, we thank you for this remarkable account of the Levites. Standing up to the mark, called to serve, and all of these other things. Lord, we are called in the same way. May we also hear that call and stand up as followers of the Lord Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.